This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
The doctors in recital are dancing to our intro, so they were doing disco.
It was good. I liked it.
I like when you guys are here because you're so up all the time. You have to be because the Doctors in Recital is a cool show. Listen, we were talking about our question of the night is what is your least favorite Christmas song? We had an interesting little discussion. I don't want to try to recreate it, but you guys really lampooned some classics. You don't like Mariah Carey.
Mostly Paul lampooned.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been working on Christmas for a while now, so I might be Christmased out, if I'm being honest.
But you don't like Mariah Carey. You don't like Lennon.
No. It's not that I don't like Mariah Carey.
Sorry,
I don't care for that song. Christmas song.
Yeah. Did you ever like it and got sick of it, or were you just from the get-go, you're like, this is not my thing?
My favorite.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what did you guys say?
Santa Baby.
Santa Baby. Like That's Santa a bad one, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not everything has to be sexy.
Santa baby.
Yeah. I don't really have a Christmas song. Like, I'm trying to think, which one do I always skip, you know, when I'm listening to the Spotify, whatever. I don't know that I ever skip a Christmas song. Maybe I like them all.
No, that
this
can't
is
be.
Just sucking up right now. You're sucking up to God and
one.
Santa Claus. And come on,
I
Kim.
Am trying to stay on the nice list. It is a fact.
These are the voices of a fraction of the Doctors in Recital.
A
Kim Shevchik,
very small fraction.
Chris and Paul Piot are here. You guys almost didn't make it. How are the roads? I was worried you weren't going to find your way in.
Better than I thought they would be.
Not too bad.
And how far away do you live?
Swamico.
Oh, yeah.
So it was all right. We took the back roads.
Normally 10-ish minutes away.
Yeah.
It took us maybe 15.
That's not too bad. I always know, like I said, we're not going to get a bad storm if my wife expects a snow day or gets excited about it. And with the kids, too. They would get mad at me. I'd say, it's not going to happen. You're going to school. And they're like, Dad, why are you so? And then I'd be right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because when I'm wrong, you'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to go there and expect a snow day because it's not good.
It's true.
No.
There were many happy children today when it was announced we were.
Did you get out early? Okay, early
release.
That's not too bad. Mm-hmm. What do you like better, a late release or early release or a late start?
Ooh, I know
that's a tough call.
Yeah.
And I'm not a teacher, but I would pick
a late start.
Late start, yeah, same.
Because you get to sleep in, you get to enjoy your breakfast.
But only if, a late start, only if you know
ahead of time.
Yes.
So you don't set the alarm.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you set the alarm and they call it late, then you're up. So then I end up going in right away anyway then.
But then you have no minions bothering you.
It's true.
So as a teacher, then you get the time, it's quiet, you can
get
your room already.
That's true. Get things done.
Not that I would know. I would never survive a day in your classroom.
Yes, I'm in my classroom for a day and you survived.
Not alone.
You walked away limping.
Coming from someone who's around sick people all day.
Yeah, sick people are easier than middle schoolers. Especially when they gang up on you and they all have to go to the bathroom at the same time and then who knows what they're doing in the back row. It's craziness. Craziness.
What the heck happened at the schools you went to when... hey, we've got Doctors in Recital to talk about. You guys have a show coming up.
Yes.
I want to hear you guys play a couple tunes. So let's get to the January 25th at the Widener.
The last Saturday in January. Put it on your calendar if you don't have it. At the beautiful Widener. We have reserved seating this year, which is actually kind of fun because we used to have this pretty full house that people would show up like 2 hours early to grab their seat because it was first come, first serve. But now it's reserved seating. And we still have some great seats available and just a wide variety of music like always. But I'm pretty biased. I think it's well worth the money. $25 and up are our tickets and you will never see anything else like it.
No, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How did this start?
Well, I like to call her our fairy godmother. Lucinda Roberts is still our executive producer of the show. she at that time was working at Hyde Music with the Steinway Pianos, and Steinway was kind of looking for a way to publicize their pianos, get people in the store to buy pianos. And she said, why don't we get some people in the community who play piano? She knew a bunch of physicians who happened to play piano, and, you know, she decided to throw together this little doctors in recital. So it started more with a piano focus, but it's really evolved into a multi-dimensional instrumentation, voices, wow, music, eclectic tastes all over the place. But we raise money for a good cause every year, and we like to say our tagline is making a difference by making music.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So were you surprised, Kim, at how much talent there was from people who aren't professional musicians?
Oh, yeah. The first year I went was the second year. I never saw the first year. The second year I went and watched, and one of the physicians I worked with at the time, Dr. Yoon Chun, well, I still work with her, but she was somebody who literally turned down a scholarship to Juilliard to go to medical school. And she is a phenomenal pianist. And she asked me to participate. And then the next year I ponied up and brought my friends with. And the first year we did Norah Jones, right?
Yep.
Was that our first year? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Still one of my favorites. Mm-hmm.
Does it bother you that there are people in the world who are smart enough to get into med school and talented enough to get into Juilliard?
I mean, it's not fair.
It's just wrong. Does it bother
you? What to do? What to do?
I'm sure she's a nice person, but come on. Let's do a random. I'm going to ask you somebody, a random doctor in recital performer, and you tell me what you know about them.
Oh, this is fun.
Pardon me. All right, here we go. This guy right here.
Oh, Dr. Gernt?
Dr. Gernt.
He's a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Sounds complicated.
Yeah, it's just a little bit complicated, and actually a genuinely nice guy. He actually enjoys biking, and I know that because I've run into him out biking. He tried to retire, but he still is working part-time at Belen. He has a beautiful voice, so he likes to sing. He's not one that wants to have a solo, but he sings in groups, and he's got a great voice.
It says he does the national anthem a cappella.
Mm-hmm. With a group of guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. All mm-hmm. right. Good luck, Steve. Break a leg. I feel like I know him. After all right. Do you guys have something you want to play for us?
Sure. What do we want to do?
You want slow? Do you want fast? You want something relaxed?
Listen, Christmas carols. Your for dime, you. Your dance floor. Christmas carols are fine. Just something.
All right.
Whatever you guys think.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Doctors in recital.
Sweet head, the stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I am to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Was
unbelievable.
Rocking the baby in the manger, or whatever I sang. I don't think I got all the words right, but I can't read upside down.
Kim Shevchik, Paul and Chris.
You have other talents.
You guys sound so good together. You know what I like the most? I love, Chris, you gave Kim a look and you guys just smiled at each other while you were singing. that adds such a cool element of performing. I just
you know what it is? It's that Belgian string of unity. We come from the same motherland.
You do?
We do. We do.
We like to pretend we're related, but who knows? We're both like from this family of immigrants, and we've never actually looked at it, but I bet we have a common denominator.
Other than
waffles. We've known each other forever, too.
But what is that? It's a Belgian thing? Like people just...
So,
are they closed off when they're not singing, but then when they sing, they're very gregarious? Or how does that work?
You know, I just think we've been doing it for so long together. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
I love it.
I mean, truly, we both paid for college by singing for weddings and funerals together, which is something kind of odd, but actually how we bonded.
It is.
It was good.
Especially this time. So Kim also plays organ.
Oh boy, very badly. Like, very badly. So you'd go to a piano, like... a church expecting a piano and it had this organ. I'm like, oh crap, I don't know how to do it. And then there's the foot pedals. So Chris would be underneath playing the foot pedals so I could play the keys because I don't know how to do the foot pedals. They're like a giant keyboard, but I can't do that.
So she would play and I would be underneath playing the pedals with my hands. We've been through some things, let me tell you.
We have.
That's a music war story right there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I really do love, like when bands are playing together and the guitarists will walk over and mm-hmm. or like Springsteen and mm-hmm. Little Steve. It's just, it adds something.
Oh, for sure.
On any mm-hmm. level, even if it's like community theater or whatever, you love seeing people have fun with what they're performing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have, we don't have a time to do another song before you go to a break, but what do you guys want to do? What do you want to do? Is Doctors in Recital all Christmas music?
It's Heck after no. the holiday. It's okay. No Christmas music.
I saw the clips you sent. You did something for Mamma Mia. That was
great.
Yeah.
It is not Christmas music. No. We decided tonight because the snow is falling and, you know, we can see the trees from the Schreiber office building. I mean, it's very festive.
Yeah.
But no, our show is no Christmas music. I can't even think of a single time that we had anything that was considered a holiday song. But
you sound like you're angry at Christmas music, Kim.
I am now because you told me I had to not like one.
That took a turn real quick.
It did take a turn. Just like that. Because by January 25th, escalation. You're sick of it, right? You're like, oh my gosh, another Christmas song.
I know. I don't know why I always thought of that as like a Christmas performance, but you're right.
It's not. No. Right. If you're somebody who likes classical, we've got that. If you're somebody who's like into pop music or jazz or funk, we're doing a Dolly Parton song. We're closing the show with
Nine to Five.
Which is going to be really fun. Might have some big hair, especially Paul.
Yes.
Get him some that big would hair. Work.
You're going to get me some big hair?
We'll get you some
what
big
about
hair.
If you get me some big hair, I will wear big hair.
I mean, we make it fun. It's
what about
fun.
Here You Come Again? That's a great Dolly song.
Oh, I like that one.
That's a good
here
one.
Here You Come Again.
All right, Doctors in Recital are here. They're going to reflect over the next minute or so for this break and figure out what they want to play next. So great to have you guys here. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We learn more from a 3-minute record.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What do you guys think of this shirt?
I like it.
I actually
was going to say, I really like that shirt.
All right. See, I think Jimmy's just jaded.
Because I felt a little self-conscious that I have a cat on my shirt.
That's acceptable, though, I mean, this season. This is not a Christmas shirt. It looks like something McLeod would wear when he's about to go bust somebody. And my pal Jimmy Pardo called me out on it. And I knew he would. I thought to myself, why am I wearing this shirt when Pardo was on the show? It's the first thing he said. So thank you for saying you like it, though.
It's serviceable. I do like it.
The Doctors in Recital are here. Kim Shevchik, Chris, and Paul Piat. Great to have you guys in the studio. It is time to play Meet Another. Doctor in recital.
So fun. Oh, you picked a good one.
Did I? Good. Okay.
Oh,
tell us about
she
Tina.
She is so amazingly
Tina
talented.
Sourhammer?
Now, okay, you joked before.
Is that
before.
A stage name?
That is her real name.
Okay.
You talked before and you joked about, well, is it really fair that they're smart and talented?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you okay. picked another good one.
She graduated from medical school, okay, at 22. So she graduated from college, GB, I think at 17 or something.
She was there when I was there, like
17 or 18.
And I think she was 16 when she was there.
Yeah. So she graduated from college early, graduated from medical school when most people are graduating from college, became a plastic surgeon, and then also subspecialized in pediatrics plastic surgery. And she can play the cello like you would not believe. And she's beautiful.
She served as Miss Wisconsin in 2003 and won the preliminary talent competition. I mean,
yeah.
I don't
literally
like her.
Miss Wisconsin. And she's super nice and very generous, donating her time.
She wasn't just in the past. She was Miss Wisconsin.
She was literally Miss Wisconsin. She competed in Miss USA, right? After
I think so.
So she was, so many amazing things so far in her life, but her business, she's an entrepreneur. I think she's building a new building now. Her plastic surgery and aesthetics and dermatology clinic is very, very successful.
And now you're going to tell me she's actually building the building. She's the one constructing
Probably. She's Good constructing Lord. The blocks with her bare hands.
I would love to set Conrad up. Is she married?
She is.
She is.
I'm trying, man.
I appreciate it.
All right. What do you guys got for us? What are you thinking?
Well, we were thinking of bringing some joy to the world.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll work.
Oh, there we go.
Maybe Pete even wants to sing with us.
You should sing with us.
Do you think I'll do like a Phoebe thing on Friends when I have a cold? It'll sound great. This could be my one chance to be a good
singer.
Have
that real jazzy voice going.
I'll join in when I can.
We
could
do Smelly Cat if you want.
No, please, let's not do that.
I don't actually I'm allergic. Know that one. I'd have to figure it
you
out.
Don't, quick. You don't need
well,
the guest,
Paul. Well, it's Phoebe, so, you know.
Oh, my God. Okay, here we go.
Conrad, don't laugh if I join in.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Like I only knew a couple, and I don't want to.
Joy, world,
joy, world,
joy,
world, joy.
And the first time I jumped in, I was like, "Ooh, let's pull that one back, and then I'll get my second wind here and go at it." But you guys sound so great. So, what can people expect in terms of if they come to see the Doctors in Recital January 25th at the Widener Center? Mm-hmm. How long is the show?
Every year is a little bit different, and I'm gonna guess this year's probably gonna go about 2.5. So we start at 7, and we have usually about an hour and a half show, first act. Then we have an intermission. We have the Griffin Strings Quartet actually playing in the lobby for our intermission. They're one of our recipients with their educational show they take on the road for our community, and they're playing as just blow you away. I mean, they're professional musicians. That's their day job and their night job. And then our second act, we try to keep a little bit shorter, but it will definitely end with high energy, like I mentioned, with my friends. And the Power Tool Horns from Big Mouth, the local amazing band here in Northeast Wisconsin. The Power Tool Horns, so the four horn member of their band will be coming. They'll be in our show in various acts. So we bring in some local musicians, our drummer in our house band, Steve Seitz. He's awesome. He plays in several bands. He plays in the Packer band. Whenever you see the little Packer band that goes
around. I've actually met those guys here. They were here during the morning show once when I was here.
So Steve's our drummer. We just have a great eclectic group of really talented people.
Nice.
You'll see talent. You'll see variety.
So who's the leader? Are you kind of one of the shot
I'm the
callers?
Board chair, which means
Kim's
I
the boss.
Get nice. To carry the mantle of responsibility, I guess. But we have a board. Our executive board has been a very close group for many years. So several of us have been involved for a long time and in taking various roles. But so it's not a It's definitely not all me, thankfully. I'm not the treasurer or the secretary. I'm not the money person.
What is, do you have a history, Kim, with embezzling? Or what
you know, kind of... let's just say... No.
You'd be okay with the money. The secretary part would be bad because no one will be able to read anything.
Yeah, my handwriting's bad. I'm pretty good with organizational skills, but it's my system, not probably everybody's system.
We've learned a lot about Kim Shevchik here tonight. You guys, thank you so much for bringing the elements. This is so much fun. Good luck with the show.
Fun.
Break
Thanks
a leg.
For having us.
Maybe
thank
we
you.
Could even squeeze in one more of these beforehand because there's so much fun having you guys
we
here.
We would love it, and we won't do Christmas music if it's past Christmas.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Christmas is next week, so I'm going to go.
I'm going to go. It will be past Christmas. Before.
Yeah, you could pick the genre. We could. Yes. You could like ask your audience.
We'll do that.
All
right. All Doctors right. in Recital. Check it out January 25th at the Widener. Thanks so much, you guys. We're coming right
Thanks,
back
Pete.
With Mike
Thanks,
Clemens.
Conrad.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I'm not worried about playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
I'm not worried about playoffs. Not worried about it. I'm worried about us continuing to get better, staying in the moment, focusing on what's right in front of us. And it's by attacking our practices the right way and just building our habits. And it's all about how we improve throughout this process. And whatever happens, happens.
Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Welcome back. You still have time to get in on tonight's question if you want to play along. We're going to read your text right before the end of the show. We got to play some catch up there. But what is your least favorite Christmas carol? Let us know at 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the stream or the app. Plenty of ways to get a hold of us, but just get a hold of us. It is my pleasure to welcome, and that was such a great bumper, one of my favorite guests on the show. He does such a great job. He is sports, ladies and gentlemen, and his name, you know him as Mike Clemens, joins us now. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Pete.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
What was that, a parody of Allen Iverson saying practice?
Well, sort of. It was Jim Mora, who was the head coach of the Colts at the time, and they were struggling or 500 and had all kinds of aspirations of making the playoffs that season. And he's like, you know, playoffs, I'm trying to win a game here. Like, had like a 3 or 4, about 30 years ago, but it's a classic.
That's great. Now that you say that, it totally sounds familiar. So you're in Green Bay, as I understand it. That's always exciting, knowing I'm in the same town as you, Mike. What's going on? What are the Packers looking at hosting the Saints? They don't seem like much of a threat, but because of that, are they a threat? I mean, the Packers are right there.
Saints have been playing hard. But they've been going through quarterbacks. Derek Carr, who came over from the Raiders, he's now got a broken left hand in two places, and he's out for the season. Taysom Hill was a guy that the Packers should have held on to, and they didn't have to make him a quarterback, but maybe, well, what Sean Payton made him down in New Orleans is a gadget guy, a tight end, a special teams player, and a backup quarterback. But he was actually in for quarterback a couple of weeks ago, torn ACL, done for the season. So now they're down to a second-year guy and then a rookie named Spencer Radler. I think they took in the fifth round this year. And so Spencer, you know, you saw him during the preseason with kind of a live arm at times, and they tried to start him earlier in the season, then they had to pull him and put another guy in. But Spencer Radler is the rookie, is going to get the start on Monday Night Football.
Wow. In the cold here at Lambeau. That's exciting.
Yeah, and so today, you know, LaFleur said, hey, the forecast says we might see more of this Monday night. Well, guess what, guys? We're going to practice. Since we have the opportunity to do this, let's have a practice in snow today, and they did. Jair Alexander was back out there. He's been out like a month with a torn PCL.
Right.
That was as far back as the Jaguars game. And he practiced a couple of days last week, and then they pulled him on Friday because they said, you're not ready. You're not close to 100%. And so he was back out there today. I would think that they would really like to get Jair Alexander ready and 100% by next week when they have to go up into the Dome and play the 49ers and Justin Jefferson, you know, the best receiver in the NFL. Javon Bullard is a rookie. He's out of Georgia. He's had a tremendous year. And they moved him from safety to nickelback, but he injured his ankle a couple weeks ago. I saw him walking around the Hudson Center as opposed to being in the training center during practice, but I doubt that he'll be ready for Monday night as well.
Okay. So the Packers have some injuries now, Mike. Will this affect how they rest guys down the stretch? I mean, they're not in it for the conference. It's going to be either Detroit or Minnesota, right? Are the Packers going to rest people, or what do you think?
Yeah, it's not like the Packers are in a race to win the division and maybe get home field advantage and a bye and that kind of thing. They're going to be a wild card team. One guy that got injured in the game Sunday night out in Seattle was Quay Walker, and you know he's the guy that wears the green dot, the radio helmet, calling the defense. And he injured his ankle, and that's going to be week to week. He wasn't anywhere present today. Huh. But, you know, one guy who's filling in and coming back at inside linebackers is this Edgerrin Cooper, who they got in the second round out of Texas A&M. And after missing 3 weeks with a hamstring injury that happened in practice, he was out there Sunday night. He played in 57% of the snaps. He was all over the field.
Yeah.
He had five tackles, a couple of sacks. A clutch interception that kind of shut down the game with about 5 minutes left. I mean, he went for the cycle. I even had a buddy of mine who used to cover the Vikings. Now he's out with the Broncos. He says, "Who's this Cooper guy?" And I talked to him about him. He says, "He looks like Von Miller. Remember Von Miller when they went to the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos?" I said, "Wow, that's pretty good." So they're excited about him. And today we're saying to LaFleur, "Why aren't you playing this guy more?" And he basically said, "He's a rookie. I'm not ready to put the radio helmet on him and have him quarterback the defense and call the defense. There's a lot more involved in that. I'll have one of the veterans like Eric Wilson do that instead while Quay Walker's out for a while. But certainly we will put him in." And he's also just coming off, this hamstring injury, a soft tissue injury. He's going to be a good one. He's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I remember asking the same thing. I was watching the game. I'm like, "Who is this guy? I've never even heard his name before." That's pretty good value. I mean, second round, you expect the guy to contribute, but that was an impressive performance. So let's talk, Mike, the new documentary, the Aaron Rodgers documentary, Enigma. You asked Matt LaFleur about this. I didn't understand exactly, like, he claims Ted Thompson played a role in getting Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love to Green Bay. What did LaFleur have to say about that? Was that controversial in some way?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we learned that there was a documentary by Gotham Pictures. Is that New York-based? coming out, and it was going to be on Netflix, and it's called Enigma. And, I mean, there's at one point, when I saw clips of it, the trailer, you see Aaron Rodgers in a jungle in Costa Rica with war paint on and half naked, sitting around a campfire with some of the local folks there, chanting. Like, what in the come on? So it's supposed to track his comeback from his Achilles. Then also someone said, oh, boy, there's this interview where he went down to Mississippi and sat with Brett Favre. I'm like, wait a minute. He did that like 6 or 7 years ago. We found out about that. We'd ask him about it, you know, off us to the side. And for a couple of years, we'd say, hey, that thing with you on Favre, is that coming out yet? So this makes me think that it's an Aaron Rodgers production. And, you know, interview has been on the shelf. And now 5, 6 years later, they're throwing that in. So whatever, they followed Aaron the last year and showed him all through his story of the rehab with the torn Achilles injury and, you know, and his excursions in life and spirituality and et cetera. And they came to Green Bay last May. I found this out a couple of weeks ago. And they sat down with Matt LaFleur. So there's this tweet that says, wow, have you seen this thing? Matt LaFleur says that Ted Thompson was not only responsible for drafting Aaron Rodgers in 2005, but he advised Ron Wolf back in 1991, you should get this Brett Favre guy from the Falcons. And that after he had retired, he advised Brian Gutekunst, you should take this Jordan Love guy. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Wait, you know, at the time, first of all, Ted didn't start with the team until Ron had already made the trade for him. I know this whole story. I was, you know, there for it. And there was a great play Sunday night where Jordan Love made an Aaron Rodgers-like play, a free play for a penalty, where he got the Tucker Kraft. So I asked him about that, and I asked about this. Well, asked LaFleur, what's the story that you now know that Ted Thompson was responsible for all three of the quarterbacks?
Oh,
do we have the audio?
Conrad, do we have that? That's what I was trying to ask you about. Yeah, let's play that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I don't remember saying that, but apparently I did. You know, I don't know if they cut it up. I think what we were trying to do was draw parallels to Ted drafting Aaron into Goody drafting Jordan. So I think, but I don't know how it got edited or whatnot. But Ted Thompson had nothing to do with the drafting of Jordan Love. I think there was some lessons learned, him doing what he did when he drafted Aaron. And I think you see it all across the league. You better have a quarterback. Otherwise, life can be very, very difficult. And Goody obviously made a great decision, one that does take courage, because in the moment, you're going to get a lot of flack for it. And it was the case however many years ago when Aaron was drafted. It was the case, was it 5 years ago now, when Jordan got drafted. So it takes courage in that moment. But by no means was I trying to reference that Ted was the reason that we drafted Jordan.
When I see Jordan Love take advantage of a free play and get a ball of crap the other night, how much of that was watching Aaron do that and things that you work on with this team?
Yeah, I would say that was a big part of it. You know, that's something that, you know, as an outsider before I got here, you're always intrigued and how do these guys get so many free plays? And having learned that, we all kind of learned that from Aaron, and Jordan's taking ownership of that and doing a great job, number one, with his cadence. And then also when teams sub, sometimes you take advantage of that as well. And we've had multiple situations where we have been able to take advantage of that. And that ultimately comes down to the quarterback.
Mike, when Rodgers left, what is his relationship right now, do you think, with LaFleur? Like, I've never heard them badmouth each other, but do you think they were happy to be separated?
Oh, I don't know about that. It was just, you know, at some point Aaron decided, you know, it was time that he wanted to move on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got their own, you know, teams to deal with.
Right.
And Aaron was taking guys from Green Bay, which LaFleur was not crazy about because LaFleur was being left with a really young team.
Yeah.
But it all worked out. But on this play on Sunday night, there's Jordan Love with his back, you know, to the wall there against the end zone, and a Seahawk jumps offside. Josh Myers, the center, wisely snaps it, and now the refs haven't stopped the play, so Jordan's got the ball in his hand. Tucker Kraft is aware, like, hey, free play. Goes out for a pass, and Love hits him about 25, 30 yards downfield. And I said to Jordan today, on those free plays, do you credit Aaron Rodgers or Coach LaFleur for that?
We have
it's definitely something that it's been a staple in the offense since I've been here. And, you know, that's credit to Aaron and, you know, just the work that they've done with it. But it's definitely an advantage and a tool that we practice all the time. And, you know, when we do get the defense to jump, it's a credit to Josh to be able to snap the ball and, you know, be able to get that playoff so we can take advantage of, you know, turning a free extra 5 yards into a big play. So it's something that we spend a lot of time on in practice. And it's definitely fun when it comes to life in the game and we can execute it. And obviously, you know, Tuck making a big time play, big time catch, just kind of boxing a guy out. And turning that free extra 5 yards into a big explosive play.
Do you ever get sick of getting reactions from players and coaches, Mike? You're so good at it.
Do I ever what?
Do you ever get sick of being in a locker room and just getting guys to open up like that and tell you about... I mean, it's just seems like such a fun environment.
It is. Here's a great thing that happened. I asked LaFleur about a play that happened Sunday night where, you know, they kind of took their foot off the gas in the third quarter and they had to do some punts and after having a brilliant first half. So there's one play, if you watch the NBC version of it, where the camera's behind him and you see Jordan Love back to pass, you see this linebacker just come blitzing in, untouched, and then you back up and go, what is going on? And you see Josh Myers, the center, he's starting to help out Sean Ryan with Big Cat Williams, the big defensive lineman for the Seahawks, and totally ignoring this linebacker. Like, what kind of a stupid decision is that? And Collinsworth didn't pick up on it. And fortunately, Love is able to dump it off to the running back, Josh Jacobs, over the middle. And they picked up like 4 yards, but I thought he could have been killed. So I asked LaFleur about that play. He says, yeah, I don't remember that play. You know, I've been watching all the Saints tape. Yeah, I'll look it up for you. So then I asked Jordan Love, and he goes, yeah, I don't know anything. And then after all the cameras left, all the reporters, he waved me back over. And I went up to his locker room. He says, inside screen. It was a planned play.
Oh, that's
great.
Let
the linebacker shoot in. And that opens up the over the middle. And if we can dump that ball to Josh Jacobs, man, he can turn up the middle. Now, there was another corner that was trailing him, that was spying on him. But if that guy hadn't done that, he could have been a little short pass over the middle. And then it's Josh Jacobs right up the middle between the hash marks for 30 yards or who knows what. So that's the fun part.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
That's fantastic. Mike, thank you so much for jumping in tonight and helping us out. And keep up the phenomenal work. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you, Pete. Have a good night.
You too. All right. That's Mike Clemens. You can follow him at Mike Clemens NFL. Right, Conrad? I think that's his Twitter. He does such great work. I love having Mike on the show. All right. We're coming back to read your texts. Ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down this Thursday edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Funny, last night when I was asking radio for pets, when they were in the studio, I said, who are your influences? And they listed off several bands, including The Cure. And I think we played that song when we went to break, and Billy's like, oh, and the Smashing Pumpkins. Like, he was almost kind of mad that he forgot about the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, the Smashing Pumpkins are great.
Fantastic. We have a great show tomorrow night. Matt Miller will be here to talk about movies and TV and Christmas movies. And Matt is pretty much up to date on a lot of stuff. So it'll be good to talk to Matt. And then it is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will join us for some music talk and some great conversation. Terry's always so much fun. Steve from Florida says, I just listened to the Christmas Shoes song. The most depressing song I've ever heard. Yeah, I'm surprised more people didn't say that, although a lot of people did. I just kind of forgot about the song. I know Sarah mentioned that when she texted in on the stream earlier. Steve says, Grandma got run over by a reindeer and rocking around the Christmas tree. Yeah, definitely. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. That's a curious, why would you write that song?
I don't know. Yeah.
Another novelty that got stuck in the rotations of holiday songs is terrible. I don't know. Your mom doesn't like it either, though, because she texted in the same song.
I wonder how it even like became a song. Like,
someone wanted to see their mother, their grandmother killed.
Right.
It's really weird. Eric from Lodi says, not a big fan of Santa Claus is Coming to Town either. Way overdone. It is. I do like Springsteen's song. And here's the weird thing. When I was younger in college, I had someone on my floor used to play that song all the time around the holidays with Springsteen. I got sick of it then. I wasn't as huge of a Springsteen fan then. Now I love it. And I think it's one of the coolest songs that a rocker has ever done of a Christmas song. But I get it, Eric. That's an overplayed one, certainly. Anna from Madison says, Pete, I thought of another Christmas song I dislike. Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney and Wings. Yeah. We just had Paul and Chris Piatt and Kim Shefchik in here. And Paul said he didn't like the John Lennon song War Is Over. And I agree. They're just overplayed. And they're kind of, they seem sort of contrived, I think. Jim from Appleton's, I already read that one. Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Mark from Prairie du Sac, he sent us the lyrics.
You got to sing it.
I can't sing it. I can't sing. He says, chipmunks roasting. This is to the Christmas song where it would be Chestnuts by Nat King Cole. But Mark from Prairie du Sac wrote us the lyrics in a text. He says, chipmunks roasting on an open fire, hot sauce dripping from their toes. You could almost already vomit. Yuletide squirrels fresh filleted by the choir. They poked hot skewers through their nose. Everybody knows. Some pepper and a garlic clove helped to make them season right. Tiny rats with a crisp golden coat really hit the spot tonight. It goes on. That's awful. Thanks for doing the research, though, Mark. Paula from, that's Conrad's mom saying, I'm not a big fan of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Everybody in your family hates that song.
Yeah. My dad doesn't like the Christmas shoes either.
Well, both of those are fair game, I think. from the 608, the Comedy Club on State, this is in reference to our discussion with Jimmy Pardo about Wisconsin comedy clubs, said that Wisconsin, the Comedy Club on State is the only comedy club in Madtown, as far as I know. I think that's right. Bridget from the 818 says, baby, it's cold outside. Sexist. Some say date rape. Creepy, not Christmas. You are not alone there, Bridget. A lot of people think that. It is kind of weird. I almost wish some of this hadn't been brought to light because what these people say about it is true. But I never just picked up on it. And I just kind of liked the song.
It's like the Love Actually kind of thing.
Yeah. With the creepy stalking.
Yeah.
The 17-year-olds. This is weird. Bridget continues saying, I'll be home for Christmas. It makes me sad. I like happy Christmas songs. My grandma always used to say that song made her cry, but she still loved it because my grandpa fought in World War II, and that was the song supposedly that people sang and thought of when the troops went off to fight in World War II. Maybe it was written for that. I don't know, but yeah, that's a good one too. Thank you, Bridget. Steady Eddie. It's about time, Steady Eddie. Glad we caught this before we went off the air. He says, Pete, I hate It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, sung by Andy Williams. Yeah. That one is seriously overplayed. And Steady Eddie continues. He says, it's just played too much on TV commercials. I mute it. Don't hate me, Andy Williams fans. I like Andy singing Moon River. I'm with you, Steady Eddie. But there is much to go in this text, so stand by, folks. Maybe it's me getting ancient and bah humbuggy, but the older I get, the less I like Wisconsin winters. Snow, cold, and darkness. I am definitely with you there, Steady Eddie. Maybe you, Conrad, and me, and all of your SAD?
Sad.
Sad, he just means? Okay. Sad Wisconsin listeners should move to New Mexico, and you could broadcast Nightlight from a warm, sunny, and snowless Las Cruces. Or maybe Albuquerque. Oh, that kind of really brought me down.
It was signed Sad Steady Eddie.
Sad Steady Eddie is how he, and there's no postscript.
That doesn't feel festive.
Yeah. I think my least favorite Christmas carol is that text from Steady Eddie.
I agree.
And I'm a huge Steady Eddie fan, but yeah, that brought me down. But not a bad idea. Thank you to Jimmy Pardo for making the popcorn pick of the week. That was really fun to catch up. And, Doctors in Recital, represented by Kim and Paul and Chris Piatt. That's always fun to have them here, too. Get your tickets now for the show, January 25th. And Mike Clemens, our old friend, always fun to talk sports with Mike. Thank you for all your texts. This was a great question. We got a lot of good responses here. We will be back tomorrow night with the favorite. What is your favorite Christmas tune? See, we did it there, folks. We juxtaposed it a little bit. Have a great night, everybody. I'm going to go take a steam and eat some Halls and maybe sing.
Sounds okay. Like a good dinner.
Sounds like a good dinner. All right. This has been Nightlight with Peach Wabba on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.